this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
Oh, Harry. Game week 27. It might just be the worst game week I've had this season. It might actually be one of the worst game weeks I have ever had playing FPL. And in 15 odd years, that is a long, long time. Foden rioted, I had KDB. Romero scored, I had Van de Ven. It's just one of those weeks. Neto went off at halftime injured. Gross didn't start, even though he's been in incredible form in recent weeks. And of course, I played Martinez over Areola and my goalkeeper woes continue. Genuinely, there were so many things that went wrong for me this week. Please tell me that game week 27 was better for you.
Yeah, my game week 27 was all right, actually. I quite enjoyed it. I got 86. 86 with a minus four, so a small green arrow. Benching Anthony Gordon, I think everyone listening probably had some form of bench points, whether it's their goalkeeper, whether it was a defender, an outfield player. It feels like, yeah, everywhere I looked, there were bench points. So I had Gordon on my bench and my new transfer in, actually, Zabanyi at Bournemouth, also with a six-pointer. But across the board, I only had two blanks. Trippier, who feels the most frustrating.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, keeping him for so long and then to be subbed after 54 minutes or whatever it was in Newcastle to go and keep their first clean sheet in what feels like months. And then the only other one was Dominic Solanke. But apart from that, brought in Son this week, Areola's 13 points. You have to say, there's not much sweeter than a goalkeeper haul in FPL sometimes.
No, but there definitely is when you've benched them, though. I think that was so infuriating because it was quite tight, actually, for me with the goalkeeper choice this time around with Areola and Martinez. And it has been like that for weeks and weeks and weeks. I really need to wildcard and get rid of one of them because that would really solve my issues of which one to play every week. But yeah, it was for me, it was just difficult. Ake and De Bruyne both blanking, not great when you've spent the level of budget that you have on them. Obviously, as I said in the intro, I bought in Van de Ven rather than Romero. And I was genuinely torn between the two of them. Obviously, I couldn't go for Porro because he was still out. Ange Postecoglou told us that. Udogie, I thought, probably was going to be all right and will probably start. But there was that little bit of uncertainty that meant I wasn't going to go there. So it came down to a straight choice between the two Spurs centre-backs. And in the end, of course, I plumped for the wrong one. Neto and Gross with their one-pointers, just not ideal. Solanke with his two-pointer. My bench is just full of points because, obviously, as mentioned, I got Areola there. I also bench Palmer because I couldn't work out how to start him. So he's there with his five-pointer. Doughty's there as well with his five-pointer. It was one of those weeks where, on Saturday evening, I was getting on a plane to fly home and I looked at my team and there were more points on my bench than there were in my actual team. And I was just like, this is going to be one of those weeks. And it continued to be that way, even owning Saka and Saliba in the game on Monday evening, which we'll talk about in a bit, still gave me a red arrow because, of course, Saka was heavily owned. And to be honest, I was really relieved when he went off at halftime because it felt like he was in for an absolute haul. Yeah, and my red arrow was getting bigger and bigger, everything he did. And, of course, now a lot of people going for the Arsenal double up in defence. So just having one of them is no longer guaranteed to give you that green arrow or that little boost in your overall rank. So difficult week for me, but we are heading into a period where lots can change with blanks and with doubles. And if you get your strategy right over the coming weeks, it could see a real increase in rank. Well, that's what I'm clinging to anyway.
Yeah, as we go into this part of the pod, it's probably worth just clarifying what our strategies are, just because it will change. I'll end up recommending players who certain people can't buy or vice versa. So have you decided where you're going in game week 29? Yeah, I know you left your transfers open this week to try and push that decision further down the line. Have you made that decision?
I thought I had. I thought that I was fully in the let's not free here in 29 camp. I was kind of 90-95% that was what I was doing. And I think when you have a difficult game week, it's very easy to react to something and try kind of throw everything that you've been planning out the window and go, right, that's not working. I'm going to do something different. So I'm mindful of just making decisions that can let me be flexible with my strategy still, because I want to have a bit more of a clear thinking space after the disappointment that was game week 27. Currently, I'm starting to lean back towards free hitting in 29 again, because when I think about the players that I would bring in to dead end my team into game week 29, that would lead me to a very, very early wild card, almost straight after. But then some of those players, the likes of the Spurs assets and the Aston Villa ones, I probably want to keep for another week. So I think for me right now, looking at my team the way that it is, I am tending to lean back to a free hit in 29. That would allow me to hold my wildcard for a little bit later and maybe play in 33 ahead of a bench boost or similar in 34, maybe in 37. So I'm trying to be as flexible as possible with my strategy right now. Whatever happens this week, the likely transfer I'm going to make is to bring in Sun. So It doesn't actually make any difference to my chip strategy, that transfer, because Sun would be a player that I would keep anyway after.
Yeah.
What about you?
My team is so far from game week 29. I have a handful of players, including sort of double Luton and Charlie Taylor. So the free hit is kind of locked in for me for game week 29. And I felt as soon as those cup results, there were no upsets and the game week looked as it was. I didn't really have a particular choice. And it kind of worked out quite well for me. I managed to bring in a Bournemouth defender last week, which if I was going to not free hit in 29, I probably wouldn't have done. But yeah, I've so far away from a game week 29 team that I don't really have to think in too much detail about it, that chip will be played next week.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It will make a massive difference. And the players that you target this week going into the double will be different, because I think if you're planning to play through, you're probably more likely to lean towards the Luton assets. Whereas if you're planning to use your free hit, you're much more likely to go for your Bournemouth assets, because coming out of the blank game week for Bournemouth, they've got a really nice run of fixtures and you'd want to have more than just Dominic Solanke in there. And for me, if I do play through, I'd also have to sell Solanke to bring in Tony for game week 29 and then want to almost immediately reverse that transfer straight after. So I think it's definitely something that you need to consider and keep in mind as we go through the rest of this pod. Should we start with the derby? It feels like that's as good a place as any to start, particularly as I had three Manchester City assets going into that one and very nearly ended the game without a return for any of them, given that Haaland scored so late on. I was starting to think it was just going to be one of those games. It was Foden, again, who really, really impressed this week. He was top for shots across the game week with 9 over the last 4 weeks. He's also been top for shots with 26. 15 of those 26 have come from inside the box, showing quite how advanced he's been. But only 3 of them, interestingly, have qualified as big chances in the game. So I think what's interesting is that he's getting the opportunities. They're not necessarily big chances, but he is scoring as a result of them because his form has been so, so good. And of course, those last 4 games, he's also top across midfielders for penalty area touches with 56. So when we are kind of thinking about the position that he's taking and his importance in that Man City team, he looks like the player that you want to have from City. However, it's a difficult game week coming up and then it's a blank. So what are your thoughts on Foden?
Yeah, I feel like for the past however many years, we've always spoken about Foden's going to have this season. Foden's going to have the season where he's finally playing every week and he can just be incredible. And I don't know, this is definitely it, but I feel like it's not getting quite enough attention about how good he has been. And maybe at times where Manchester City haven't been as free-flowing as maybe we've seen in the past, Foden has. I've loved having him in my team, but he's been penciled in as the player to go for Mo Salah when I want him back over the next couple of weeks. And that's going to be a very difficult thing to do. And I'm going to have to find another
hard sell.
It's a very hard sell. Because although the next 2 games, well, we've got Liverpool, then we've got the blank, then it's Arsenal. But after that, the fixtures look really, really good for Manchester City. So unless you're wildcarding very soon after in game week 30 or 31, I don't think you can go selling him just because of, you know, how on form he is. There are other players in my midfield who I think, oh, they're also on form. But then Foden scores 2 goals like that. He scores a hat-trick the other week. He's not going anywhere for me. And to be honest, if I didn't own him, I wouldn't be buying him now for Liverpool blank Arsenal. But he would be the player in my mind. I'd have to have a plan to go and get him in for the run-in. Because Manchester City, when they can smell the title and they've got a run-in like they do, you can sort of see how this is going to go. And when they've got other teams pushing them, like they do as well, I'm very happy to have him because you have the sort of Haaland ownership, which kind of doesn't do anything for your team.
Totally.
And it's almost at the point now where Foden's ownership doesn't massively do anything for my team. If you don't have him, it is
killing.
It is killing. I didn't want to say it, but it is killing. So it's kind of like, I feel like I have to have the both. And I'm starting to think, well, when that nice fixture run comes, do I need a third one? Because I'm not gaining anything from having 2 Manchester City assets, which feels crazy the way that we play this game. But yeah, very happy with him. And he's definitely not going anywhere at the moment. And we spoke a lot about how we thought he might be worse playing wide. He might be worse when De Bruyne comes back in the team. And it's given him more actually license to roam. And the opposition are picking up Haaland. They're picking up De Bruyne way much more. And Foden's just finding pockets of space that he maybe wasn't slightly earlier.
Foden is a real bone of contention for me. He is the player that I really want to have. But given the fixtures, Liverpool blank, Arsenal, I just can't prioritise bringing him in, which feels horrendous, to be honest, because the form that he's in is so good. But he is the player that I am planning my strategy for. At the moment, obviously, I have KDB, who has been a bit of a frustrating own, to be honest. Yeah. I bought him in thinking I had the budget because I was selling Salah. And maybe it's one of those reassuringly expensive things that we sometimes see in FPL that's like, oh, I've got loads of money because I've sold Salah, rather than just going for Foden, who was the obvious pick. I'll spend a little bit more and I'll get KDB because he's coming back from injury. He looks so good coming off the bench in those couple of games. So I went there. But I think moving forward, I'm going to sell probably KDB this week and bring in Son, maybe bring in Bowen, but probably bring in Son. Part of my reason and my justification for being happy to sell KDB is that longer term for the run-in is Foden that I'd rather have because of the what position that he's playing in, but also how good his form is and how Pep seems to be actually trusting in Foden and regularly giving him the starts at the moment, which is, as you said before, something that we just haven't had consistently from him in the past. So I am definitely going to have him, but it's going to be in game week 31 because I don't think I can justify prioritising that as a transfer. If I had him, I wouldn't be selling. I'd be holding him for the Liverpool game this week. But moving forward, I think if you don't have him, then he will have to be a player that we look at.
Yeah, so Foden and Haaland, very, you know, the ones that we're all going with. But there is a creeping ownership now in their defence. And they've been good some weeks, but we have seen this sort of Manchester City leak goals type sort of narrative. And they did it again this weekend. Yes, there's not that much they can do about Marcus Rashford shooting from 30 yards and putting it in the top corner. But you have a Manchester City defender. How are you feeling about them? Because it does feel like, despite with the upcoming fixtures, we expect them to score goals against Liverpool. We probably expect them to score against Arsenal. We don't expect clean sheets quite as much. It feels like the defence might be an easier sell this week.
Yeah, Ake is on the chopping block for me as well. He came in at a time where I wanted to get some more Manchester City assets. I didn't have a space in the midfield for an extra one around their double game week. So I thought, well, I'll go with Ake because he'd been regularly starting. There's some attacking threat there as well. And of course, then he didn't get the start in the second game of the double, which was the one where they did keep their clean sheet. And then, as you say, not every week you're going to see a worldy goal like we saw from Rashford this time around. However, the clean sheets just aren't sticking. And when you're paying upwards of 5 million for a defender, you do want clean sheets out of them because there's so many good, affordable, cheap options in the kind of 4 to 4.9 bracket that spending any more than 5, you do want to see the clean sheets come. And we're not really seeing that with Man City. And when I consider how I might invest in Man City for the run-in, we've already talked about Haaland and Foden. They kind of feel like the locked pair. But then, who is the other option that goes in with them? Do you want somebody like an Ake or a Walker? Or maybe you go with an Edison and pick a defensive asset? Or actually, maybe you treble up in the attack because that's where their points are coming from, particularly when you look at the lesser value players. So obviously spending a lot on KDB might not necessarily be achievable for everybody, particularly as you mentioned with Salah going to be coming back into the squad at some point and all of us, I'm sure, wanting to get him back in. But you have got options like Bernardo Silva, like Doku, who you could go to for the run-in, who maybe offer slightly more, I was going to say security, but we never really get security with Man City, but better potential for points returns than the defence does. I don't think I'm going to hold Ake. I think he will go for me this week or next. Because I don't see a clean sheet against either Liverpool or Arsenal. Now, maybe more longer term, I might look to bring them back. But in the next 3 weeks, I just don't think there's a lot of value to be had with owning the defenders.
Yeah, no, I agree. And looking at some of the potential double game week defenders that we might want to own this week, it does feel like if you've got an Ake or a Walker, they're probably short-term sales. But I probably disagree that when the nice fixture run comes in, I think a Manchester City defender will be, you know, an option for me because I don't see another attacker that I particularly want. I don't look at Bernardo. Alvarez was nailed. He isn't anymore. Mm. Doku's not playing, you know, he's starting games, but he is always the first one to come off for Alvarez. So if I want a third one, I don't see another attacker I want. So I'll probably probably go in defense. But the team in this game, which normally has investment, but at the moment absolutely doesn't really have any investment apart from maybe a couple of cheap options, is Manchester United. They got the early goal, went 1-0 up, and you know, you started to think what could happen in this game. But Manchester City felt like they had such control here that the chances didn't really fall for Manchester United. It's a hard game to judge a team on their performance going away to Manchester City when they have the level of control that they did in that game. Was there anything that you took away from this game that made you want to invest in them as a team? They've got Everton at home this week.
Well, that's the thing, actually. The fixture coming up, they could be one of these teams that we don't look at because there's a double game week coming and because they obviously have the blank in game week 29. But actually, the fixture is nice this week. And depending upon your strategy, you might want to consider them, because if you are planning, like we were talking about before, to free hit in game week 29, then when you come out of that blank game week, you've got Brentford and Chelsea. Now, more on those two in a little while, but they definitely feel like they are defences that Manchester United could get at. And actually, when you think about the run-in, there's only Liverpool and Arsenal in there. Otherwise, it's Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley and Crystal Palace. So they are a team that actually has quite good fixtures after the blank game week. But as you say, it's really hard to know where you would go with that Manchester United team. Rashford scored an absolute worldie this week, and it was an absolute peach of a goal. However, he hasn't been consistently doing that, nor has Bruno been consistently picking up the points. And those were the go-to. I mean, last year, so many of us had both of them. We were doubled up on Rashford and Bruno for a lot of the season. I don't think you can spend that level of budget. You can maybe go for a Garnacho or somebody in that kind of cheaper bracket to save a bit of money. But at this point in the season, and when you look at kind of the run-ins for teams like Bournemouth, there are plenty of good value picks everywhere else. So we'd need to see a bit more consistency, I think, from Manchester United before I'd want to invest.
Yeah, I agree. I think Garnacho is probably the only name that even comes close to getting into my team just because of the price. And he has been very good for them at times this season, but I don't think he's a top priority for me this week.
No, I agree. I think it's difficult with Manchester United because you start to think that they're coming back into some form. And we've had that over the last couple of weeks. I've started to think, or maybe things are getting better on the red side of Manchester. But then actually the derby, I thought they started quite well. I thought they played all right during it. I thought it was going to be an absolute demolishing by Manchester City. And for most of the game, it really wasn't. It was only towards the back end of the game that City really made their dominance pay off for them. But yeah, I think they are definitely the team to invest in. It's just how you do it. Whereas with Manchester United, I think the options are quite limited. Let's move on to a game that I was hoping for big things from one of my midfielders who has been fantastic for me in recent weeks, only to find De Zerbi put him on the bench to start this game. So Brighton then going on to lose 3-0 to Fulham was not something that I was anticipating. So Pascal Gross sitting on the bench was a real frustration for me because he was one of the differentials that I was hoping was going to come big in this week, because Fulham haven't been setting the world on fire with their defence recently. And I thought this is a good opportunity for one of my relatively lowly owned players to do something good. He's been top for crosses across the last four with 15. Only Ødegaard and Silva have created more chances than his 15 in the last four. But yeah, he found himself on the bench. Now, he comes on for a one-point cameo, which is even more infuriating because once they've been benched, just leave them there.
Yeah.
Let Palmer come off my bench for his assist. Yeah. What did you make of Brighton? Because they are so difficult to invest in right now. Obviously, Estupiñán did get the start this week, but no clean sheet. And that comes in a week where a lot of people had sold him already. So where are we with Brighton right now?
Yeah, it's difficult because they've got that big clash midweek with Roma in Europe. So that's probably why De Zerbi thought that this weekend was the right one to rotate. But they then ended up getting well beaten by a Fulham team who've actually had, you know, a couple of good results over the past few weeks. And I think we'll look at it when we go into game week 29. But going away to Fulham is not the most straightforward of fixture, which is the Spurs fixture in game week 29 that we're all looking at, you know, doubling or tripling up on. And maybe we should be looking at the other side of that fixture a little bit more. I agree that the Brighton fixtures have looked really, really nice, but actually they're coming to an end now. They've got one more green fixture at home to Nottingham Forest this weekend. And then after that, it does look pretty difficult for them. So if you've held a Groves, if you've held a Stupinan this long, you can, you know, chance it for one more week. But the rotation is there. And when your players are not being rotated, enough of the other rest of the team feels like that's changing, that it's then impacting their performances that way. So for me, Yeah, I didn't invest in Brighton, but Estupiñán was a real worry for me over the past few weeks because I know what he can do and I know what Brighton can do, but it just hasn't fallen into place.
Yeah, I mean, I doubled up on Brighton over this period. I had Estupiñán and Gross. I sold Estupiñán this week and went for Van de Ven, more on Spurs in a little bit. And Gross has been fantastic for me. Like, he's been a really, really nice differential to own. And actually, he's been returning points in every week. I thought you should have been more points in that for you. Like, there really should have been a good opportunity to put some really nice points on the board over the last few weeks. And this fixture I saw is a really nice opportunity for him. I think you're right. The midweek fixture does throw a little bit of confusion into the mix because we're back into that period where we might start to see some rotation. I would hope that De Zerbi learned enough about what happens when you rotate massively in this game that we see Gross get the start against Forest at the weekend, because that's not really a transfer I want to make this week. Post the blank game week, I can't see me holding Gross for much longer because, as you say, the fixtures have swung, or they will swing anyway by the time that happens. And then I think we're in a position where there are other midfielders in the same price bracket as Gross who potentially offer better value for money for me moving forward. Estupiñán, I just think, is one of those players, and the Brighton defence generally, that on paper look great, but in reality, I don't see a clean sheet against Nottingham Forest either with the way that Forest have been playing. So if I had an Estupiñán or a Dunk or one of the other Brighton defensive assets in my team, and I was planning to play a free hit in game week 29, I'd absolutely be looking at a Bournemouth defender in replacement for them, because I think they offer good value going into the double game week, plus a nice fixture run after the blank where you could see some really good defensive returns out of your Bournemouth assets in the same way that you did last week when you invested. So for me, Brighton, Gross, I think, is a hold for one more week, but everyone else in that Brighton team I'd be looking to sell right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I suppose on Gross is keep an eye on that result on Thursday evening, because if they're, you know, lose 1-0 or it's a very, you know, a draw going into the second leg, yes, I probably expect him to start Forest given the amount of minutes he does normally play, but it's not completely impossible that he thinks, well, let's focus again on that European fixture. I agree though. Gross is probably a keep for me this week. The rest of them look like there's not enough consistency in returns, as well as not enough assurance that they're going to start that one.
You mentioned Fulham, and I think it's important. Fulham probably don't get enough love on many FPL pods because they're not one of the kind of really standout teams that you kind of go, oh, I've got to have, like from your Liverpools and your Manchester Cities. But actually right now, Fulham could offer a really interesting option for the next couple of weeks, because it's a game against a Wolves side that are struggling at the moment. They're without a lot of their key assets. Obviously, Neto went off injured in that game, and we'll talk about Wolves later. But they've got Wolves up next. Then they play in the blank game week. So if you are trying to play through the blank game week, then they've got a fixture. It's a difficult fixture against a Spurs team that are scoring a lot of goals. So maybe defensively, you might not feel like you want to go there. But certainly in attack, Spurs defensively are not solid, and they haven't been for a number of weeks. So you absolutely could go with a Fulham attacking option ahead of that. And then when you come out of the blank, it's Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, West Ham. So there's definitely scope to invest in Fulham. If you were going to go there, where would you go?
The name that jumps out every single, well, at the moment, is Muniz, who's playing up front and he's 4.5. And he looks so good. We always thought when Jimenez got his injury and Broya came in from Chelsea, maybe it's the Chelsea fan bias, that he'd go into that Fulham team and he'd take the spot.
Yeah, I agree though. I feel the same.
But Muniz has absolutely taken that shirt and looks so good. And he didn't get any returns last week against Manchester United, but he could have done, and he caused them a lot of trouble. And then he gets a goal and an assist this one. The issue is, and the reason I was hesitant, is there are so many forwards we want at the moment. And when you look at someone like a Carlton Morris as well, you've got Solanke with a double, Morris with a double, Haaland, you've got Watkins, all looking really good. It's difficult to fit him in, and it might be easier to fit in a Wilson in midfield. It might be easier to fit in a Deco Dover Reed or someone in your midfield as your fifth midfielder, rather than trying to squeeze a Muniz in up front. But he is definitely top. Now, defensively, there's not loads of clean sheets. Leno has been an okay asset over the course of the season. The only one I'd probably look at is Anthony Robertson at left back. He's reasonably cheap. The attacking returns have been decent enough this season for him. And as you say, it's Wolves, then Spurs at home, and then Sheffield United away in the game week after. So he does offer a little bit going forward, but Muniz is the one that stands out. And on a free hit in game week 29, watching Spurs defend some of the times over the past few weeks, he's going to have to be in with a shout.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I think Spurs defensively have been a bit at sea, and in part that's been due to injury, and we've not really seen a stable Spurs defence for a long, long time, because if it's not been Van de Ven out injured or Ramiro out suspended, it's been Porro injured or Udogie injured, and there's been so many changes. And also that Spurs team isn't built to be a solid defence. It's built to be an attacking unit. But I think if you're looking to invest in Fulham this week ahead of the game against Wolves and then hold for the foreseeable, he is difficult because, like you say, you've got the double game week coming up for Solanke. So a lot of people won't want to sell him. You've got Watkins, who's also available there. And I think coming out of the blank game week, you'd also still want to have Solanke in your team for that run of Everton, Palace, Luton and Manchester United. So he will be difficult to fit in. But you have got other options. You've got Wilson. You've got Declan Overeem. You can go with a Fulham midfielder. Have them as your fifth option. And I think they're a better fifth option than having somebody like Garnacho, who we talked about earlier. So I quite like the investment in Fulham.
Yeah. Absolutely. So where should we go next? Should we talk about probably what feels like the most informed team in the league at the moment, which is, well, Arsenal. I was going to say Sheffield United nil, but Arsenal 6, Sheffield United nil. Again, just continue to look like every team they come up against, that they're just not going to stop. 5-0 at half time. I think we're all thinking, what could this be? I was sat on my phone checking records of how many goals teams had scored in a Premier League game.
Yeah.
And Saka captainers, I have to say, I wasn't one of them. I was quite relieved to see him go off at half time. And I think a little bit unlucky. He could have had a lot more. As soon as he got that ball in that game, he was taking on his man. He was in the box. He was creating chances. But it's not just him. You can practically buy any attacker in that Arsenal team at the moment, and they're pretty good for returns. I almost went Martin Odegaard this week. I didn't, and I'm regretting it. Kai Havertz in the returns, Martinelli in the returns, although he picked up a slight knock as well. Plus, the defenders of, you know, locking in clean sheets on a regular at the moment, and their newfound left back, the one we weren't talking about, Kiryor, looking like a good option at the moment with the injuries they've got at left back. So I could talk about practically every single player on that pitch. And the one I haven't mentioned as well is the cheap option in Declan Rice, who seems like a great, you know, cheap asset when we're talking about Garnachos. Declan Rice is quietly going about getting the returns as well. So yeah, just another incredible performance by them.
Yeah, I must admit, it was hard to watch from an FPL perspective, because having Saliba and Saka, I was like, right, okay, this is great. And then I looked at their effective ownership and was like, oh gosh, this is not great. This is going to be whatever happens here.
Yeah.
This is going to be a red arrow. I need an extra Arsenal player in my team. Kiwior, the 14th Arsenal player to register a double-digit haul this season. That's more than any other team, by the way. 14 players on double-digit hauls. Incredible. He's also started all of the last four matches and produced 6 returns in that period. So really, really nice, cheap option. Obviously, we have Ben White getting an attacking return in this one as well. In fact, of the Arsenal team that started that game, it was only Jorginho that didn't return more than the clean sheet point. You know? So when you think about that, that is incredibly impressive. You were just seeing points for every single person out there. Saka over the last 6, 10, 9, 15, 15, 10, 7. And that 7 feels like, well, for me as a non-captainer, that feels like a result that he only got 7. Because as you say, I think if he'd come out again after halftime, it would have been more than that. He had 59 points in the 5 matches before that Sheffield United game and was on the best run of any player over the course of this whole season. Of course, he's extended that tally now with his 7 points. I just think that with Arsenal, the difficulty that you have is that blank week. And it depends on how you're planning to navigate the blank, I think, as to what you do. It feels like there's a number of ways that you can invest in Arsenal. So obviously they've got Brentford up next. Not having the double up in defence is hurting my rank. Not having the double up in attack is hurting my rank, because if the clean sheet sticks, the defence gives me a red arrow. When they score with the free-flowing football that they're currently doing, not having anyone else other than Saka in attack is hurting. It feels like whatever happened in Dubai when they went on their warm weather camp, I would like to go there, because that motivation that they've come back with has been incredible. Yeah. And okay, coming out of the blank, they've got Manchester City. But then after that, when you look at their run-in, Luton, Brighton, Villa, Wolves, the Spurs game, which is always interesting and you never really know what you're going to get in a derby, Bournemouth, Manchester United, if there was ever an opportunity for Arsenal to win the league, it feels like that run of fixtures after that Man City game is it. And I think you have to be trebled up. So I'm going to brave not being trebled up for the Brentford game, because I feel like I have to in order to make sure that my team is set up in other ways. And maybe I brave not being trebled up for the Manchester City game. But goodness, from game week 31, I think you have to be. And I just think you have to make a choice. Do you go with the two defenders? Do you have Saliba and Gabriel, or Saliba and Kivior, or however you want to do it? There's so many options.
Yeah.
Or do you say, no, actually, it's the free-flowing attacking football that I want to be investing in. So I'm going to back up Saka with an Ødegaard or a Havertz or somebody along those lines.
Yeah, I think the only person disappointed by the result last night was their new set piece coach, who's, I think, coached a goal from a set piece in every game or something since that Dubai tour. And they scored six, and I don't think any of them came from a set piece.
No. But
I agree. I think I'd be going in attack. I look at how many goals I think they can score in some of those games and think I'd want a second piece of it. It's probably Ødegaard, who got one goal in that game and ended up with two bonus points still. This is why I like him, because he's so involved. The bonus points are great. Every return isn't just a three-goal assist or a five-point goal. You're getting bonus points on top of it. So he'd probably be the one I would look to add. But I agree, from game week 31, after that Manchester City game, tripling up feels like a sensible thing to do.
All right, well, let's go to the other side of North London then and talk about Spurs, because my gosh, my team know how to stress me out and leave it late in matches. Palace, I actually thought, played really well. And Spurs... well, again, as we mentioned earlier, no clean sheet in this one. Richarlison, I think, will be a concern for many, because obviously a lot of managers had invested in him, and he had been absolutely superb for Spurs in that period of time when we really needed him to be. He's now out for 3 weeks, according to Postecoglou, with this knee injury. That meant Son moved back into the number nine. And as a result of Postecoglou talking about Richarlison being out for 3 weeks, it felt like a big percentage of the FPL community went, all right, let's invest in Son then. Because, of course, you knew what you were going to get. And he does get the goal, as he always seems to when he's playing in that number nine. Interestingly, though, he only had 9 penalty area touches from that number nine position, which I was kind of intrigued by, because I was expecting him to have a lot more than that. He did have 5 attempts on goal, and 4 of those did come from inside the box. And he did also create 3 chances for his teammates. But it wasn't just him that was in the attacking returns. Obviously, Werner got his first goal for Spurs this week. He's a difficult own because he's a forward in the game. And I don't think we've seen any level of consistency that would make me want to pick him right now, particularly given the other forwards that we've been talking about already. So you are really, I think, looking at the Spurs midfield. Madison, I don't think he's hit his full potential since he's been back from injury yet, but it's starting to click, I think, now with him. Obviously, we get an assist in this one. Kulusevski out on the other side, I don't think is an option for me right now, but Brennan Johnson is certainly attractive, even though he's not regularly getting the starts. What's your thoughts about Spurs and how to invest?
Yeah, so I was in that camp where I didn't own Richarlison, and then hearing he was injured, I thought, well, I had an injured player in Hwang Hee-chan in my midfield. It just made sense to go and buy Son, because we saw earlier on in the season when he was playing up front, he was in practically everyone's teams, and we just thought that would happen again. So he still feels like a good option. It sounds like Richarlison will probably be back after the international break, but we will wait to hear a little bit more on that. It'll be interesting to see what happens when he does come back, because the longer you leave it to buy Son, if Richarlison does come back and go on the and Son goes out to the left wing, it does hamper Son's output a little bit, and it makes Richarlison a better option. I've got the decision when the free hit comes in game week 29 of probably 2 midfielders from Spurs. And I still think Madison is the one that I will go with. Just, you know, the set pieces, just sort of much more involved. Kulusevski has been good. Brennan Johnson, I am not certain of the minutes. Werner up front. I think there'll be goals in the Spurs team, but I think Son and Madison feel like the two I can confidently rely on each week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for me, Son wasn't even on my radar. I'll be really honest. Until the injury to Richarlison, Son wasn't a player I was going to find any budget for at any point. He was never in my thought process. The injury to Richarlison has meant that I'm probably going to invest in Son this week on the basis that that gives me the next few weeks to have him playing up in the number nine. But almost immediately after the blank game week, when, as soon as Richarlison's back, I'll probably look to downgrade Son, because that will free up the money that I need to go back to Salah, because at some point that is inevitable, that that's got to happen.
Yeah.
And I do think that you can cover out the Spurs attack by going for one of the cheaper options. You can go with a Maddison instead and still have that good potential for returns. And I think, you know, towards the back end of the season, as much as I'd love to sit here and say, oh yeah, you need to go really heavy on Spurs because, you know, that would mean that we're having a really nice end to the season. I think realistically, you can go with one midfielder between now and the end of the season. And if you want to add a Spurs defender into that mix, because they effectively play as an additional midfielder, but they're a defensive asset. You know, if you want a Udogi or a Porro, or even if you want to go for a Van de Ven or a Romero because they're cheaper, then fair enough. I think, but the double up feels like enough, apart from in blank game week 29, where I think you probably do want to be trebled up because the Fulham defence can be got at and you probably want the double up in attack there.
Yeah, I agree. Talking about their opponents briefly, Crystal Palace looking slightly improved under their new manager, Eze back in the team and back in the goals with a great free kick. They've looked good over the past few weeks until the 75th minute where Spurs started to turn on with the goals. They looked decent again in this game and they've got some okay fixtures coming up after the blank. Of course, they don't play in it. They offer some cheap options. Now, our midfield is very full, so finding a space for Eze is maybe difficult. In defence, is buying a Crystal Palace defender a top priority? The one that actually catches my eye as a cheap option is Sam Johnson. And I wonder when people start to play their wild cards, whether he'll become a little bit more popular. Probably not assets for this week, but 4.4 million for him back in the team now has looked very good taking that shirt back off Dean Henderson. As I say, probably not ones for this week. Of course, they don't double and then they don't blank. But ones I've got my own for the future, if they're going to continue this form that they've got at the moment.
Yeah, and I think the new manager bounce is certainly there. Like you say, up until the 75th minute, they were arguably the better team, Palace. And I was quite impressed, actually, with the way that they came and they played. And I think it's been hard to own Palace assets this season. I've had a number of them in my team, but we've had consistent injuries from some of their big assets. In the defence, I've owned Anderson for a large chunk of the season. They haven't been that secure in terms of their clean sheets. But the next three games, obviously there's a blank in there, but Luton, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth does feel like there's some opportunity in there to invest in Palace. Then there's two difficult back-to-back games against Manchester City and Liverpool. Actually, Palace could have quite a big impact on what happens in the Premier League with their fixtures between now and the end of the season in terms of who wins the title. And then the run-in, West Ham, Fulham, Manchester United, Wolves, that feels like a nice opportunity to have some differentials for Palace because they are very, very lowly owned. So don't let the result this weekend put you off investing in Palace, particularly if you are set up already for the next few weeks and you're playing a free hit chip in game week 29, because they could be a great differential to have in for this game against Luton that gives you an opportunity. And we should never ignore the single game week players in a double game week, particularly when the double game week is only a double for Bournemouth and Luton.
Yeah, no, I agree. But talking of some of those double game week players, should we cover off a couple of those games? So the first one on Saturday evening was Luton Aston Villa. As an Ollie Watkins owner, them going 2-0 up very early on, we thought they might run away with this game. But Luton, to their credit, had a couple of injuries which set them back early on. They definitely came back into this game. And I will talk endlessly about how much I enjoy owning Alfie Doughty at the moment. He has put more crosses in this season than any other player and averages more successful crosses per game than any other player in the Premier League. So they might not be keeping clean sheets, but I have to say it's quite fun watching Luton play with some of their assets in my team.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy having Luton in the Premier League. They're really good to watch. Like, they're fun. They go, they attack in a way that newly promoted teams often don't. Like, they'll go, they give every game a good go. And I really enjoy owning Doughty. I mean, I seem to bench him when he makes points and leave him, you know, in my team when he doesn't, which is the inevitable frustrations of being an FPL manager. But he has been really, really good. And I think it's not just him across that Luton team. You know, you mentioned Morris before briefly. Since game week 19, he's returned 54 points. He's only blanked in two matches across that period. And in fact, it's only Watkins, Muniz from Fulham, who we talked about before, and Haaland that are better than Morris across that period of time. So I've been really impressed by Luton, and I think there are options there. Even Burke, when you look at him, he was top for XG underachievers in game week 27. So you've got him, you've got Doughty. If you don't have a defender from Luton, I think you could go either way with that. You've got Morris if you want a new striker. You've got the likes of Ross Barkley if you want a midfielder. There's so many good cheap options for Luton. And they double and they don't blank. So they put you in a really nice position, particularly if you don't have a free hit chip. I would be heavily investing in Luton if I didn't have my free hit available.
Yeah, so effectively adds a fixture this week because they double, and then adds a fixture in the blank if you're bringing it for someone who doesn't play. So two extra fixtures. I know people will be thinking, well, it is Luton, but Crystal Palace and Bournemouth in their double, and then Forest at home in the blank. It's, if you're going to have three fixtures for them, you definitely put it looking something like this. So I agree, especially if you don't have your free hit chip left and you're looking at the next 2 weeks, they've got to be right up there at top of your thinking. As I say, I don't have a route to Morris, and he's probably the one player I look at going into this double that I wish I could own.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on it as well, because I can't sell any of my other options up top. I don't want to sell Haaland this week. I'm going to keep him, and I certainly can't sell Watkins or Solanke, given that Solanke's got the double, and Watkins has got, well, a fixture against that Spurs defence coming up, and then obviously plays in the blank. So I'm not going to be selling him, and he's on his best FPL total already. So 183 points now for Watkins so far this season. That's his most ever in an FPL season. And of course, we've still got, you know, a number of game weeks to come. So we can only think that this is going to far and away exceed what he's done in the past. 6 goals and 4 assists in the last 6 game weeks for him, including this brace that we've just seen in game week 27. As somebody that owns both Martinez and Watkins, I'm looking to add to my investment in Aston Villa over the next couple of weeks, because I do think that there were goals for them against Spurs, and of course then they play against West Ham in the blank. So I think, depending upon your strategy for managing, you can add a Bailey or a Douglas Luiz to the Watkins pick and have two attacking options for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's the whole Bailey versus Douglas Luiz, the exciting pick in Leon Bailey versus the Mr. Reliable in Douglas Luiz. Where are you sitting with that? Because Douglas Luiz getting 2 open goal returns last week. He picked up another assist, as did Leon Bailey this week. It feels like a real coin toss between the two of them.
It does. But it also feels like if Douglas Luiz is not at home, he's not as attractive an option. So that's always something that kind of plays in the back of my mind. Like, he's obviously brilliant at home. Away from home, less consistent with the returns. I sort of love the explosiveness that Leon Bailey could offer. And it's one of those, isn't it? It's the kind of like, do you go with the safe, reliable, sturdy Douglas Luiz, who's actually still a relative differential? He's only owned by 13.6% of the game. Or do you go, actually, let's have some real fun with it over the next couple of weeks. Let's go with Bailey, who has been really impressive over the last few weeks. I mean, we see obviously a return against Luton. We've obviously got the 12 points against Nottingham Forest. Nothing against Fulham, but then returns against Manchester United, Sheffield United, against Newcastle, Burnley. Like, he's been really good all the way back since game week 20. So I sort of like that. And at just 4.8% ownership, I think that Leon Bailey's are a really good differential for the next couple of weeks.
Just one more game before we wrap up. Burnley versus Bournemouth. Burnley, not much investment there apart from Charlie Taylor. I actually thought Burnley were not bad in this game. And although Bournemouth came away with a 2-0 win, and a lot of us going into the double will think, oh, they just won 2-0 last weekend, I think they were a little bit disappointing in that game.
I agree. And actually, I was really, really disappointed with Solanke. Now, obviously, I know that there was the injury concern going into this week. We weren't even sure if he was going to make the starting 11, but he did. And when a player does make the starting 11, you therefore expect them to be fit. I didn't think that Solanke had a very good game this time around. And it has made me a little bit wary of how I'm investing in Bournemouth. But of course, it's probably one of the best double game weeks that you could ever have coming up for them. They do blank afterwards. So again, you do have to be mindful of that if you are going to invest in them and you don't have a free hit to deploy. I still think Solanke is the best option from Bournemouth, even though I didn't think he was very good in this game. And I agree with you. I thought Burnley were quite unlucky, actually, not to get something out of this one. Obviously, Sanetti was the most transferred in defender ahead of game week 26. People looking at this fixture against Burnley and thinking there should be a guaranteed clean sheet, but then also looking at the double and thinking, oh, I probably should get 2 clean sheets out of him and he's got attacking threat. The injury that saw him go off will have frustrated a number of managers, and we're yet to know the severity of that. So obviously we're just going to have to hold fire until we get to the press conferences to see where we go from here. Because obviously if he's available, you're going to want to keep him. But if he's not, then you have to kind of consider where you go next. Obviously you bought in a Bournemouth defender last week. Yes. I'm assuming pleased that you went that way rather than for the Senesi pick.
Yeah, so I went with their other centre-back in Zabanyi. To be honest, it was because I'm planning on wildcarding quite late. So the risk of the yellow cards was great enough over the next sort of, I basically have to play him in my team doing some planning for the next 6 or 7 weeks, that I didn't want to run the risk of him picking up 2 yellow cards and being a problem in my team. So
yeah.
I got lucky and I went with one of the other options there. You can look at potentially Kerkez at left back. It doesn't sound like Kelly, their sort of starting left back at the moment, is going to be fit, but we'll wait on a press conference update. It does just feel like Zabanyi is the safest pick. And then in goal, Neto comes in with another 8-pointer this week. If you need a goalkeeper this week, it's probably quite obviously Neto, unless you need them in game week 29, of course.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Neto is that he's cheap enough that you could have him as your second goalkeeper, play him in the double.
Yeah.
As long as your first goalkeeper is somebody like Martinez or Areola or Vicario or somebody that's going to play in 29, then you're set up to manage the blank quite nicely. A little shout out to Cliver, who has been kind of quietly going about his business. Obviously picks up the 7 points in game week 27, but we've seen the beginnings of some potential, I think, in FPL. Obviously also picked up an assist against Forest in 23. Look, I don't think he's setting the world on fire at any point soon. But I think if you are planning to free hit in game week 29 and you therefore really want to attack the double game week this week and go heavily for investment in Bournemouth, then looking to double up on the attack by adding to Solanke with a Semenya or with a Cliver feels like a decent option, particularly as you can hold them beyond the blank game week and they've still got a nice run of fixtures there.
Yeah, no, I agree. It kind of, as we said with Luton, it's that game week 29 that will depend on whether you think Luton is worth the priority or whether you think Bournemouth is worth the priority. Cliver and the midfielders are one I look at this week and I probably won't buy, but I look at their fixtures and think, I think they'll score a couple of goals in those. And it's just hoping that you get the right midfielder that comes away with the points over the next couple, because I predict that there will be one or two midfielders, whether it's Cook, whether it is, you know, Sinisterra, Tavernier, Cliver that comes away. But the fixtures are good enough that if you need a punt and you're chasing in your mini league, one of those Bournemouth midfielders could definitely be the ones.
Particularly when you look at their ownership. So Cliver, 0.5, Semenya, 2.4, Cook 0.1, like they're so lowly owned, the opportunity to overachieve with them is huge. I mean, even when you look at Solanke, he's still only 24% owned. That's still a nice option going into this week, particularly as of those 24% of managers, you would expect that some of them would captain him, but not that many. So he's going to be a really nice differential captaincy option for this week coming up too.
Yeah. And if you, I suppose the big question for those about 20% of managers who have their triple captaincy chip left, would you be looking at Dominic Solanke this week with Luton at home, Sheffield United at home? I wish I hadn't played mine because it'd be going straight on him this week if he's cleared fit in the press conference.
I think it's that. It's exactly that. If you've got it and he's cleared fully fit, because I didn't think he was fully fit in this game. He did not look like he was really fully fit. He looked like he was there because they really need him rather than because he was actually fit and available to be there.
Cool. So looking at your team for this weekend, we're talking a lot about doublers, but it sounds like you've got one eye or both eyes more on game week 29 with your transfers this week and bringing in a certain favourite Spurs player.
Yeah, potentially. I think because I'm still a bit uncertain, I'm going to be waiting for the press conferences. I need some understanding of how Neto's doing and whether Neto's likely to be available for Wolves, because that might make some decisions for me. I can actually afford to go Neto to Sun as long as Sun doesn't rise anymore in price over the course of this week. If Neto looks like he's dropping or Sun looks like he's rising, I might have to act a little bit earlier. The other thing is I'm also absolutely not wed to selling Neto. It might be that I sell KDB instead this time around. I think what I'm planning to do this week is just try to keep my transfers as open as possible. Originally, I was thinking I'll take a hit this week, but now I'm thinking, actually, my team looks quite nice. They've got good fixtures. I'll probably just make the Sun move because that's the move I want to make. And that leaves me in a position where I still haven't tied myself in either way to a free hit or to playing through. And maybe I take the hit the following week if I decide that actually I want to play through. But there's a lot of European fixtures to come this midweek. So I want to wait and just make sure that the players that I have in my team, the likes of Gross, the likes of my Manchester City assets, make it through the Champions League, the Europa League, the Conference League fixtures before I make any firm decisions. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, talking of all these exciting picks, I'm probably going to make what feels like the most boring transfer. I've got Trippier. I've got Trippier on my bench, and I like my starting lineup. And I need money to get Salah back in after the free hit in game week 29, and I don't plan on using my wild card to do it. So, taking Trippier out to bring in a nice cheap defender, someone like a Botman, someone like a Malagusto at Chelsea for the upcoming run of fixtures, and just leaving them on my bench is probably what I plan. Because of course, if you're playing your free hit in game week 29, you have to use your transfer this week or you will lose it effectively. After your free hit, I'll have one transfer whether I use one this week or not. So I'm kind of in a use it or lose it situation. So a Trippier down to a Malagusto might not feel greatly exciting, but it's good for Salah plans in the future.
Nice. Yeah, I think it does make sense. I think having one eye on the future is almost more of a priority this week than really honing in on that double, because I think you can probably cover out the double with the likes of Solanke, Doty and maybe one or two others without necessarily needing to stress yourself about filling your team with three Luton and three Bournemouth.
Exactly. I invested in Luton back in their old double when they didn't get me many points and have had a couple of Bournemouth for a while. So yeah, I've got the investment there and I'll just see how this one goes. So yeah, game week 28 is a big one for Bournemouth and Luton. And as always, we're getting mightily sucked into a double game week, no matter who the teams are potentially playing in it. On Wednesday, Kelly, Jules, Sam and Ian will be back with the FPL pod to have a look ahead to who are the best picks for the upcoming double in game week 28. Of course, we have European fixtures, as Sam mentioned, going into the midweek. So do bear those in mind and have an eye on your team in game week 29 as well.
And if you haven't already done so, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code for that is IB3WLK.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.